Well, Darman asked me to finish up this teaching that I had started a few months ago on imagination. Imagination is a God-given thing to you. It's how you picture things. You picture things in your mind or in your imagination. One of the things that God put on us or gave us is an imagination for things that's not here, but things that's going to be. I know that if you can't imagine, if you can't have a picture of what you want, it'll fade and go away. It'll fade and go away. We think in pictures. Pictures happen in our mind, which is our imagination. God gave it to us for a purpose. You know where the greatest computer in the world is? It's right between your ears. That's right. Right between your ears. All the technology that we have today still cannot perform like the human mind. God gives us creative images for things that's not invented yet. You should be thankful that somebody made wheels round. If it was left up to me, you'd be driving your car on skids. That wouldn't work too good. But I'm proud that he gave somebody the idea of making that thing round. That makes it better. I want to read to you out of Romans chapter 4. Okay. Verse 17. And it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. He's talking about Abraham. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as if they were. You know, when Abraham got the revelation he's going to be a father of many nations, that just kind of blew his mind. This word quickeneth, who quickeneth the dead, that word quickeneth in the Greek is pronounced it's pronounced by Greeks. But what it means is to visualize. You visualize what you want in life. You know, and if you can't visualize it, you can't retain it. And it says here, who quickens the dead and calleth. Now that word calleth means to say out loud. To say out loud. Calleth. To say out loud. By your words, things begin to happen. You keep it tight, bottled up inside, and you don't ever say a word, it just don't happen. God drew Abraham a picture. God said, I have made you a father of many nations. He said, Abraham, go outside your tent and look up and count the stars. So Abraham probably walked out of his tent and he looked up and God says, count the stars. So he probably says, okay, I, V, I. Now you got to be over 50 to even know what I'm talking about, don't you? Okay. And then he said, Lord, where do I start? I can remember one time, several years ago, the church would send a group of us to Old Mexico. We'd give out food and clothing. We was working with a group out of Clovis that God had put in their heart to go to Mexico and give out food and clothes. They preached the gospel, then they give out stuff that the people needed. And we left kind of late one night, and they said, oh, by the way, we got to stop by Cloudcraft, New Mexico, and pick up this other guy that's going with us. Now, this was already like, you know, 9 o'clock at night, and it was dark. So we go up to Cloudcroft, and we went back up into the trees there. And I stepped out of the car, and I looked up at the sky. There was no lights around. But the sky was full of stars. It was almost breathtaking. And across the whole thing was the Milky Way. Now, I don't know. I doubt if any people in here, any young kids in here, has ever seen the Milky Way. You can't see it through the Hereford dust. But the Milky Way was so brilliant. I mean, it looked like you could just reach up and touch any one of the stars that you wanted to touch. You know, that's been, 20 years ago, and it still is embedded in my mind, that star night. Abraham said to God, he said, who can count the stars? Now, I want to read you something out of Psalms 147. It says, the Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathered together the outcast of Israel. He healeth the brokenhearted and bind up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars, and he calls them by their name. Now, that's pretty awesome. He numbers the stars, and he calls them by name. And Abraham, standing out there looking around, I'm sure he was overwhelmed. How can I count all of those stars? And God says, you don't have to. I've numbered them. I know where they are, and I've called them by name. It's important when you receive a word from a prophet, you must picture in your mind what this prophet said to you. You can't let it slip. You have to make some kind of a mental image of the word that you just received. Like Abraham, every night when he stepped out of his tent and looked up, he was reminded of the promise that God had given him. Now then, I want to share something over here in Matthew. This is in Matthew 13, starting with verse 4. And when he sowed, some of the seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured them up. Some fell on stony places where there was not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no depth of earth. When the sun was up, they were scorched. Because they had no root, they withered away. Others fell on good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100, some 60, some 30-fold. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. This is when a prophet gives you a word, someone immediately comes and tries to snatch that away. That's why it's important that you get a mental picture, something that can remind you of the word that God gave you. Now, God has given me some words. I still remember them. They haven't come to pass yet, but they will, because God said it. If he said it, that settled it. And so, I'm still looking for some of those promises. I have to admit, there's a lot of promises that I've received that didn't make it out the front door before somebody snatched it right out and I lost it. But those things that God speaks to you, you need, it's your responsibility to get a picture of those things in your mind. Because with that picture, you'll be like Abraham. Every night when he walked out and looked up, he thought, my stars, they're going to be as my descendants. I wonder if anybody told Sarah about this. God is faithful. You know, we want to put God in a box, and we say, okay, Lord, you gave me a word. I want it by Tuesday afternoon. It doesn't work that way. Some promises that God gives you are for years and years and years down the road. It doesn't mean they're ineffective. It just means They haven't come to pass yet, but they will if you can keep it in your mind and keep reminding. God said, remind me. Remind me of the things that I've said to you. Why does he say that? Because we so easily let things slip. That's the part of reaping and sowing. We got to know what God says. We got to put it in our mind. Now let me paint a picture for you. If I said to you, there's a new Suburban out there in a parking lot that you can have if you can tell me what a Suburban looks like. Nearly everybody in the church would stand to their feet and says, I can tell you what a Suburban looks like. Because you can picture it in your mind. And when he said that, you had a picture of a Suburban in your mind. You can see it. Now then, here comes the second part of this picture. Out there in the parking lot somewhere is something else, and I want you to tell me if you can see it in your mind. It's a Procyon Loker. Now, I know some of you are intelligent. Raise your hand if you can explain and what picture you... Shut up, Charlotte. What picture you have in your mind. Oh, it's not an insect. What is it? A Procyon Loker. So you can't picture it in your mind, can you? You could walk out there in the parking lot and you could look around all day and you wouldn't know it if you seen it, would you? Because you cannot picture it in your mind. But if I told you that's the technical name for a raccoon, you could. How many of you can see a raccoon in your mind right now? Huh? That's because you've got a picture of what a raccoon looks like. This is a quote from a magazine, a secular magazine. The only limits to your success in any area is your imagination. Let me read that again. The only limit to your success in any area is in your imagination. You wonder why God said to the church, he says, the children of this world are wiser than the children of light. Why? Because God's principle works whenever you put it into process, and the children of this world lots of times put things into their mind and believe what they're doing, where we at the church sit back and say, well, if it's going to happen, God will bring it to pass. That sounds spiritual, but that's not what God's saying. He's saying, you're going to bring it to pass. I gave it to you. You're going to bring it to pass. You've had your breakthrough. All for years, this church prayed for a breakthrough. Just didn't realize we got it 2,000 years ago. See, a breakthrough is abstract. You never know when you achieve a breakthrough. Unless you've got something definitely in your mind that you know when that happens. But see, when most of us talk about a breakthrough, it's something out there in the wild blue yonder. We just never know when it happens. Caleb and Joshua saw milk and honey. The rest of them saw grasshoppers. Now think about that. When they went out into the promised land to spy out the land, God told them, he said, that place is flowing with milk and honey. So before they went out, what were they looking for? Milk and honey. And when they came back, what did they bring back the report? The land's full of milk and honey. The rest of them thought, oh my, we got to go out in the land where those giants are. And when they come back, their report was, we're just like grasshoppers. Just like grasshoppers. See, that was already in their mind. That was their picture. They looked at one of those giants and they thought, man, I'm just like a grasshopper. And I bet you they pictured a grasshopper. And when they came back, that's the report that they brought back. They didn't bring back milk and honey. They brought back grasshoppers. Now, we got enough grasshoppers around here without us going out and looking for them, don't we? I'm going to read you a verse out of Isaiah. It's Isaiah 43. But now saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when you walkest through the fire, you shall not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon you. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. Since thou wast precious in my sight, I have loved thee. Fear not, for I've called you by name. You see, if he can number the stars, and he can call the stars by name, how hard is it for him to number us? Today it wouldn't be very hard, would it? So you look around and, you know, I could almost number you in here now. I have called you by your name and you are mine. Galatians 3:29. Well, I do have Galatians in here somewhere. If you be in Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. See, when Abraham walked out and looked up that night, he saw you. Now, that just blows my mind. He saw you. I have numbered the stars and I've called them by name. He said, look, Abraham, look at all the Mikes up there. Look at all the Lindas up there. Look at all the Jims up there. Look at all the Freddies up there. Look at all Ignacios up there. Look at all them Bustamantes, would you? Oh, that bright one over there on the horizon, that's Amanda, that's a pretty one. Oh, look at that real bright one up there. That's a Thomas. Right beside is a Timothy. There's an Eric. He wasn't looking at stars. You were there. And he was looking at you. Now that just blows my mind. Bose fell asleep. But they would say, look at that shooting star. That's Bo, because he's always on the move. But I got a word for him. God said, many are called and few are chosen. And Bo, I have chosen you. You're going to be a shooting star. You're going to be on the leading edge of whatever God does in your generation. Praise God. That's good. That's good. Pick out a star. Look at it. Tell God, that's my name. That's my name. You know, in the book of Revelations, he says that when we go to live in the palace with him, he has a room for each one of us. And in front of this room is a white stone. And there's a name written on it that nobody knows but you and God. That's how much he cares for each individual. Can't wait to see what mine says, but I'll wait. Sometimes my imagination runs wild with me. Sometimes I can see that white stone, but I can't make out that name on it. But I will one of these days. Now, speaking things into existence should be a natural part of our life. You know, sometimes, I know in my life, there's been times when I thought, uh-oh, I'm set aside. God started using me. He's moved on to somebody else, and I've been left behind. And it's an empty feeling. And I'd think, well, I guess life's over for me as far as spiritual life. Here I am, 25 years old, and it's gone. I can remember because seeing this one church that I was a member of, which I was a deacon in that church, I came into a meeting one night and all the chairs was lined up on one side except one over here on the side. And I thought, all these chairs are full. Wonder what this one is for. And I can remember after that night, there was a little prayer group met out here in a paint shop by Morris Means. And I went up there and sat down, and this hippie, that was his deal. He was always bringing hippies in, winning them to the Lord. And this hippie was sitting there, and he said, I got a scripture that I'm going to give to somebody here, and I don't know who it is, but it says, be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. And I thought, okay, I know who that's for. I know what star that is. But I can remember going home after that meeting and going out in the front yard. We lived over some duplexes over on Texas Street or somewhere over there. I don't remember now. Center. And I leaned on the mailbox and I sat there and I thought, my spiritual life has come to an end. My spiritual life, it was an empty feeling. But you know what? God wasn't through with me then. He was just bringing me into a different place. There's some things that I had to get rid of out of my life that he let me see before I ever started ministering again. You see, you'll go through times of what we call going through the desert. We all want to be like Paul, but you look at how many times Paul had to go out into the desert or set aside for a certain number of years. And I'm sure he sat there and thought, is my spiritual life over with? Is my spiritual life over with? God is not through with you yet. See, the Bible says that before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew every part about you. He already knew what her name was. He'd told Abraham, you know, that over there, that's Jerry. Several Jerrys up there. But God is not through with you. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, he knew every part about you, and he has a plan for your life. He says, my plan is good and not evil, that I can give you an expected end. Well, what's his expected end for us? What's his expected end? See, in our society today, in what Darman would call the old man, we have these standards of what a guy's supposed to look like and what a girl's supposed to look like. Huh? But God made everybody different the way they are for a specific purpose. You look in the mirror and you say, what in the world was he thinking? But I want to tell you, God knew what you were going to look like. He's got a plan for your life. You start that plan when you come into Christ Jesus. He says, okay, your plan's now activated. And it's a day-by-day thing. Oh, I sometimes wish that God would, you know, lay some things out for me. And then I go back to the book of Acts where he laid it out for Paul. He said, Paul, I'm going to show you things. You're going to have to suffer for my name's sake. And he showed him the things he was going to go through. And I think, whoo, I don't think I want that. I'll take a day by day, Lord. That's what I want, as a day by day. And you see, that's what God gives us. He gives us a day by day thing. Well, I lost my notes there. You know, this is Father's Day. But I'm thankful that every day is Father's Day in heaven. He's my Father. Every day is Father's Day. Every day we get to celebrate Father's Day. Now think about that. We get to celebrate Father's Day. And you know what? He's celebrating you. He's acknowledging you. That's my son. That's my daughter. They're a prince and a princess in my kingdom. Well, I promised I'd keep it short today because everybody's got to go home and keep their roast from burning or whatever. The good news is we're going to get out before the Baptists do, so if you got to go to the restaurant, you got a head start. That Greek word, you'll have to ask some Greek because he didn't reveal it to a redneck. That lets you out too, so don't. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day that you have become our Father. And this is our Father's Day with you. And we thank you for that. Lord, and we just ask you to bless everyone here and have a blessed day because we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.